Welcome or welcome back to Purpose Church. My name is Eric, and our prayer is that today's message helps you connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God. Whatever your next step is with Jesus, we are here to walk with you because we love you, and most importantly, God loves you. We hope to see you in person, on social media, or at purposechurch.com. Now let's open our Bibles and see what God has for us. Well, good morning, Purpose Church family. It is so good to see all of you here today. And if we haven't got a chance to meet yet, my name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I love you all so much. And most importantly, God loves you. And so let's open our Bibles together to Jeremiah chapter 17. And while you're opening to Jeremiah chapter 17, just wanted to say a few quick comments. Number one, happy birthday, USA. 250 years. That is absolutely incredible. And I just want to say, I am so grateful for this country. I'm so grateful for this nation. I'm so grateful for the fact that we get to worship Jesus here, that we have the opportunity in our country to tell people about Christ and for all the other blessings and advantages of being an American and being here in the United States. And so very, very grateful for that. I hope you've had a wonderful Independence Weekend already. And then also want to just emphasize what Pastor Tomiko is saying. We've got 181 students who are going to camp. That's junior high and high school students. And all of their names are out on the prayer wall. And so would you please, as you head out today, would you stop by the prayer wall in the lobby, grab one of those first names, and just commit to praying for them. One of the things that we say around student ministries and in kids ministry is camp changes lives. Whether that's kids camp or student camp, it changes lives because God uses camp in a powerful way. And so let's together as a church be praying for them. And I just love that there's 181 students going, because on June 7th, when we began our Vision Sunday as a church, our focus for this next year is one more. Reaching and discipling more effectively. One more, because there's always room for one more here at Purpose Church. In fact, during our last service, there were about four people who gave their lives to Christ and became a one more just during our last service. And so I just love that in God's sense of humor, we're not taking 180 students, we're taking 181, because each one of them matters so deeply to God. Now, today we're going to be looking at literally four verses. That's it. We're looking at four verses that I believe, when applied to our lives, when deeply internalized, have the power to transform our lives, actually have the power to transform the trajectory of our lives, even have the power to transform how we see the current moment we are in right now. We're continuing our series, Return to Me, Warnings from the Book of Jeremiah. We've said this over and over again, 45 times in the Hebrew language. That word that's blurred or that's faded up top, shuv, is the Hebrew word. 45 times in the book of Jeremiah, God says, shuv. He says, return to me. God wants every single one of us, every single one of you, whether you've walked away or whether you've never decided to follow Jesus before, or you're tempted to stray, to return to him. And today we're talking about the surprising way to know if you are blessed or cursed. The surprising way to know if you're cursed or blessed. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. The question I want to ask you is, do you think you are blessed or cursed? I imagine even this last week, there were moments where you go, I feel really cursed right now. Or maybe there were moments where you go, I feel really blessed. Maybe there have been seasons of your life where you'd go, man, I felt really blessed, or I felt really cursed. Well, how would you answer that question? It's an interesting one. I remember back in like 2017 or 2018, I was just living my best life. Everything was going great. Everything seemed to be awesome. And then all of a sudden, on my algorithm on Instagram, a post popped up as if Instagram had been reading my deepest insecurities, as if Instagram had been hearing some of the conversations I was having behind the scenes. Instagram exposed me when, out of the blue, without following this account at all of a sudden, this came up on my Instagram. Thanks to science, baldness is now optional. Now, at this time, back in 2017, 2018, I had hair. I had plans for my hair, okay? I had different styles I was going to approach. And then Instagram exposed me. It left me feeling like, wait, do they know that I'm insecure, that I might lose my hair, that I might go bald? And so I began to go on this journey. I started to look a little bit more seriously at what some people in my life were pointing out to me. Here's a picture of the top of my hair, which I obviously couldn't see, but others could see. And I realized maybe it was time to do something. And then one of my best friends, Justin, who has been bald for a while, he took me under his wings and he said, let me be like the Jedi to you. I don't know much about Star Wars, so whoever that is, the stormtrooper, I don't know who you are. But anyway, he was like this wise leader in my life. And he said, it's time to shave your head. And I said, no, I resisted. And I said, no, because that would show that I'm cursed. I mean, everyone that I admire and look up to in terms of, like, you know, when you see them on TV, I mean, a full head of hair is a glorious thing. I look at Blake Bertrand right here. I mean, he's like Jesus himself. He's got amazing hair. And I'm about to go bald. Am I cursed? Well, Justin persisted and encouraged me. And so the kids gathered around. And look at the fear on their faces. They're like, what's happening to Dad? Like, who will be this new person? Well, then we shaved my head, and then here's a photo of the four different kind of versions of my hair to baldness. And I remember I actually went on a sabbatical, and I shaved my head at the beginning of the sabbatical because I needed like a couple months before I faced any of you, okay? I was absolutely terrified like what that would be like. But here's the crazy part. Now, several years later, I love being bald. It's the best. Can my bald brothers, can you like make some noise? I see some of you. I see you getting slain in the spirit out there. I see you. Here's the truth. Bald is beautiful, okay? And I'm biased. I get it. I'm biased. Preach. I'm biased. And some of you like Pastor Greg, your hair only gets better. Like his mustache, his hair, everything gets better. But for the rest of us, bald is beautiful. I actually now honestly consider myself blessed. I love waking up in the morning. I don't have to worry about my hair flying with the wind or anything. It just is always the way it is. I love it. How would you answer? Are you cursed or are you blessed? There's a young man in our church named Austin. And at one point in his life, he was really angry with God. He hated his life. He hated Christians. He even questioned whether he should continue to live. He blamed God and Christians for everything wrong in the world. And at one point in his life, he was sitting in his room and he just said, okay, God, if you're real, would you show yourself to me? So he cries out. He says, God, would you show yourself to me? And he had plans to hang out with one of his friends that day. Her name was Ashley, and Ashley is a believer. Ashley loves the Lord, and out of nowhere, Ashley texted him, Austin, I'm sorry, I can't hang out with you today. I need to cancel our plans. Now, would you raise your hand if you've ever been canceled on before, that you had plans with somebody and someone canceled on you? Raise your hand. Okay, now, I'm not gonna make you raise your hand. How many of you have ever sometimes felt like, that was actually a blessing. That was actually a blessing that they canceled on me? Or other times, you feel cursed. At other times, you wonder, what's wrong with me? How is Austin to interpret this situation? Well, his plans just got canceled, and all of a sudden, he opens up social media, and he starts scrolling through, and all of a sudden, a Bible verse pops up on his Instagram, and it's actually a Bible verse that makes him angry, but it causes him to start reading other Bible verses, and as he's reading more of these Bible verses, something profound happens in his bedroom by himself. He feels compelled to give his life to Christ. And he starts following Jesus. It was an amazing moment of God meeting Austin through God's word. And the first thing Austin did was he called Ashley, his friend who's a follower of Jesus. And he said, Ashley, you'll never guess what just happened, but I think God just revealed himself to me through the Bible. And I think I just became a Christian. I started following Jesus. And Ashley said, well, you know what's wild about that, Austin, is the reason I canceled on you is because I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me to not go over to your house, but instead to pray and to fast and to intercede for you. And so while Austin might have interpreted the canceling of plans as he's cursed, what's actually happening behind the scenes is Ashley is praying, fasting, and interceding for Austin on his behalf, not really knowing what's going on, and the Spirit of God moves, and Austin's life is never the same. See, Austin thought he was cursed, but it turns out he was blessed. So I ask you again, are you blessed or are you cursed? What's really helpful for us is God answers that question for us. And he answers it for us in a rather surprising way. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I want to do something that I haven't done before, but I want to read this exact same passage to you from the Message paraphrase translation. And I want to invite you right now to close your eyes and to maybe hear it in a slightly different way. Cursed is the strong one who depends on mere humans, who thinks he can make it on muscle alone and sets God aside as dead weight. He's like a tumbleweed on the prairie, out of touch with the good earth. He lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. But blessed is the man who trusts in God, the woman who sticks it out with God. They are like trees replanted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers, never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit in every season. You can open your eyes on this Independence Weekend. I want to ask you a question. A question that's posed on every one of our currencies. And the question is, who do you trust in? What is your dominant operating system? Because on every currency in our land, it says, in God we trust. But I'm not asking this question of our entire nation right now. I'm asking every single one of you, and I'm asking me this question, which is true about me, in God I trust or in self I trust? This is the tension within Jeremiah chapter 17. And there's just two big ideas this morning. And the first one is this: cursed is the one far from the Father. Cursed is the one far from the Father. Find me again in verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. See, the Bible says, here's how you can know if you're cursed. You are turning away from God and you are starting to trust in the wrong things. In other words, according to the Bible, it's absolutely possible to have a lot of friends, to be a high capacity person, to be physically fit, to be making a lot of money, to have a lot of stuff and comfort and still be cursed. I mean, our world is full of all kinds of people that we might automatically think they're blessed. I mean, the world just saw its first trillionaire. We've got athletes and famous people. You've got people in your life who you look at their circumstances and you think, if I was as wealthy as they are, if I was as accomplished as they are, if I had as much fame or notoriety as they do, I would be happy and I would be blessed. But the Bible actually says that riches and accomplishments and fame are not the definition of what it means to be blessed. In fact, the Message translation says, cursed is the one who sets God aside as dead weight. That's so punchy to me. That's one of the reasons I like it. But if we're honest, I mean, if you're a follower of Jesus, I doubt any of you would say, I'm somebody who puts God aside, who sets God aside. None of us would say those with our mouths, but our calendars scream it. Our calendars scream over and over again that we have set God aside as dead weight, trying to control every aspect of our lives. God goes on through the prophet Jeremiah in verse 6, that person, that cursed person, will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. See, the Bible is so honest with us. Here's what eventually happens to the cursed person. They become like a bush in the wasteland. What does that mean? It means they're unstable. A bush in the wasteland doesn't have roots that grow deep. A bush in the wasteland is fragile. A bush in the wasteland lacks real strength. A bush in the wasteland, in the desert, is totally dependent on whether the rain will come or not in order to be okay. What does this look like in our lives? This looks like codependent relationships. This looks like our moods controlling everything about our day. This means we get tossed to and fro emotionally based on our surroundings. But the cursed person is not just unstable. They can't see prosperity. That means they're blind. They interpret every prosperity. They mistake it as some kind of selfish accomplishment instead of seeing every single gift that comes to them as an opportunity to steward something God has given them. And then lastly, the cursed person dwells in parched places. What does this mean? That means they're lonely. That word to me has stuck out all the last couple of weeks as I've been studying this passage. The cursed person dwells in parched places. Some of us have been nursing a grudge for a really long time. Some of us have been dwelling in a difficult, painful situation for a really long time. Some of us are dwelling on the past. We're obsessing with wrongs. We're sitting in despair and we're alone. There's a young adult who my wife Sarah and I were talking with, and she was recently going through a painful breakup, and she's a believer, she's a follower of Jesus, and she has another friend who's not a believer who was also going through a painful breakup. And one day, these two girls were meeting up, and the woman who's not a believer was asking the Christian young adult, hey, like, how's the breakup going? And she was sharing and being honest, and it was interesting because the non-Christian friend said, hold on, how are you so strong through this? How are you so strong through this breakup that you are experiencing? And the Christian who had just gone through this painful breakup, she just responded, I'm not strong. God is strong. I'm not strong. What you're experiencing is God's strength in me. And this young adult who was not a Christian, she literally looked out and just said, I want what you have. I need that. You see, she was dwelling in a parched place. She was like a bush in a wasteland. She couldn't see anything. She was blind. But she saw in a Christian a different way. Dr. Kirk Mackey, who's one of my ministry coaches and mentors, he's the president of the network that our church is a part of. It's called Aspire Network. Him and I were on the phone recently, and he said, you know, Eric, I want to remind you that God will allow you and I to go through seasons of despair and hopelessness so that we can quickly return to Jesus. Here's the secret of life that it can be difficult for us in the West to admit. Life is too heavy for you to do by yourself. Some of you are there right now, and you're still trying in your own strength, by your own power. You can't. In fact, the Bible would say that approach is cursed. When you're depending on your own strength, or only in the strength of others, and you're turning away from God because of the circumstances and the situations in your life, you will only experience more despair and hopelessness, and God will allow you to experience that because he wants you and I to see the dead end of that, the painful reality of being totally on our own so that we might turn back to him and receive him. See, friends, you are cursing yourself when you choose to be far from the Father, turning your heart away from the Lord. But it's true, cursed is the one far from the Father, but blessed is the one close to Christ. You know, there's a land that lies to the southwest of the Sea of Galilee that it's very dry. The soil is rocky and dusty. Vegetation is sparse. There is little or no grass. The trees are little more than shrubs. But right in the middle of this wilderness is one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth. It is called Gan Heshelashoa, Garden of the Three Springs. Gan Heshelashoa is so beautiful that some rabbis say it was the location of the Garden of Eden. The pools and waterfalls in the garden are filled with deep, cool, emerald blue water, continually refreshed by underground springs. It is a wonderful place for swimming and diving. Flowers and bushes crowd the banks of the pools with giant palm trees overhead for shade. This is part of the picture that God is painting through Jeremiah's words here in verse 7, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. The Bible says you're actually cursed if you trust in your own strength, but you're blessed if daily, minute by minute, you choose to trust in God. You root your confidence in God and his promises over your life. See, this is why it's so important that we gather every week together to worship the Lord, to exalt his name, to remind ourselves and to declare that he is worthy of our praise. And we lift high his word. We submit ourselves to his word. We get our hope and security from his promises over us. And so when we gather as a church, this is so important. Because if the primary reason that you're here is to get more info, you can find more information online. If your primary reason for being here is for entertainment, get season passes to Disneyland. You'll be far more entertained. But if your primary purpose for being here is you have a soul level hunger to encounter the God who created you, then you're in the right place. That this is a place where we gather together. Jesus is the leader of this church. He's the leader of our hearts and our community. And he is the one who can transform our lives as we put our confidence and our trust in him. And when we do those things, the Bible says you are actually blessed. Verse 8. They will be like a tree. The blessed person will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear, catch this, it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Here's some of the tension of this passage, especially for us as Westerners. When we think of a blessed person, we automatically think of that's a person who has no problems in their life. That's a person who never struggles to pay the bills. That's the person who doesn't have any difficult health diagnosis or complicated relationships. That's what it means to be a blessed person. But God's word actually says you can be blessed trusting in him, finding your confidence in him, and find yourself in a year of drought. You can be blessed and the heat is turning up in your life. See, the blessed person is not like the bush that gets blown around. No, it's like a tree who has deep roots next to the stream. The stream is God. The stream is a continuous flow of replenishing through the relationship that Jesus offers us. God is not like a stagnant pool of water that we go back to because we have to, but we know it could never nourish us. No, God is like a clear stream of rejuvenating, life-giving, eternal water that when we go to him and we're parched and we're dehydrated and we're going, Lord, I don't see any way for any good to come out of this. He brings a fresh perspective and a renewal. So why does the heat and the drought come? You see, the heat and the drought tests the tree's proximity to fresh water. And so the heat and the drought that you and I are experiencing in our life right now, God will use it to expose us, to reveal to us how connected are we to that fresh water. And friends, here's what I love about God's word. Yes, you can be blessed and have something very difficult going on in your life at the same time. You can be blessed and will still experience heat and drought. But here's the guarantee. God will carry you through. God will be with you to the very end. And God will bear fruit from it. Did you see that? It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This is kind of a silly example compared to the next one I'm going to share. But my wife Sarah and I, we were on a plane yesterday. And for Sarah, any turbulence on planes is just, it makes her afraid. There's some anxiety and worry about flying whenever there's those turbulence. And I tried to be a good husband. I tried to remind her, hey, turbulence is like driving a car on a bumpy road. Like, it's okay. Even during the last flight, I literally huddled up like the pilots. I found out who the pilots were and I huddled them up and the flight attendants, I said, can you guys just tell my wife we're gonna be okay? Like, tell her we're gonna be okay. And so the flight attendants and the pilots, they're like reassuring her, hey, we're not worried, it's gonna be okay. But there's that anxiety and worry that comes from turbulence and from flying for a lot of people. And what I'm so inspired by my wife, Sarah, is that even though she has this fear and this anxiety that comes on, she has chosen to put her trust and confidence in the Lord. And what ended up happening is as we were on this flight, we were sitting next to another young woman who she works at a nonprofit here in Los Angeles, and she's kind of like quasi-spiritual, but she gets really anxious and nervous on flights. And we got to literally have this conversation with her, and both Sarah and I got to encourage her and remind her. She was like feeling burned out about her job, and we got to remind her that God loves her and wants a relationship with her, and he wants to help her, and we got to encourage her that God's with us right now. And so I get to watch my wife, who's experiencing some worry as we're flying, also ministering to and encouraging this woman. You see, even fruit can come from a difficult season of heat and drought. Dan Chung tells the story of a woman that he named, or that he calls Margaret. Dan Chung is the executive director of Crossing Borders, which is an organization that brings the gospel to North Korean refugees. And he tells a story of this woman, Margaret, from North Korea. Margaret lost her entire family during the famine, including all of her children in the 1990s. She watched her youngest son slowly die in her arms from starvation. With nothing left, Margaret fled North Korea for China, and immediately after crossing the border, she was captured by traffickers, sold, and forced to work as a slave. She worked for a year in a pig farm, carrying water from a nearby stream up a hill to where the pigs were, and she literally broke her back doing this work. In fact, for the rest of her life, she walked in a permanent bow. She told her slaveholders that she couldn't do the work anymore and asked them to free her, but they wouldn't. They instead sold her again to an older Chinese man who wanted companionship in his older years. During this season of her life, a Christian missionary who was ministering to refugees from North Korea shared the gospel with Margaret, and she gave her life to Christ. And her life didn't get much easier. Her back pain continued, and she was later diagnosed with cancer and passed away. But despite all the trauma and the abuse and pain that she experienced and being completely unrecognized or valued by the Chinese government as a refugee from North Korea, after receiving Christ, Margaret was described by others as always having a smile on her face. Margaret regularly made it her mission to encourage other women who were also refugees from North Korea. She helped settle disputes between refugees. She shared Christ with others. And those closest to Margaret said she had an enviable joy. Dan Chung put it this way: Margaret was one of the most delightful people I have ever met. Friends, I'm here to bring you a message of hope. In fact, I oftentimes, as I'm writing my sermons, I think to myself, would this sermon work in a prison to inmates? Would this sermon work to somebody who has a terminal diagnosis? Would this work, would this sermon work for somebody who's lost it all? And here's the good news about God's word and about God's truth, is that God's message is not some prosperity gospel of if you just do all the right things, everything's always gonna work out in your life. That doesn't work, and that's not how it is. God's message is actually far better, and so I have a message of hope for those of you that are facing a terminal diagnosis right now, for those of you that have lost a loved one, for those of you that are struggling to pay bills, for those of you that look at the landscape of something going on in your life and you're going, I don't see any hope. I want you to know you can still be blessed if you put your trust and confidence in God. And the world wants to tell you, and Satan wants to lie to you and make you think that you cannot be blessed if you're going through something really difficult. But he wants you to believe that, because then you'll miss out on God working in your life. You'll miss out on seeing God in a profound and deeper way. In fact, if you talk with people who have been following Jesus for a while, it's clear that it was in those seasons of really painful and hard things that their relationship with God just exploded. If they put their trust and their confidence in God. Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. God blesses us by forming and transforming us as we stay close to him and root our lives in him. God is not gonna force you to read your Bible, but when you do, you will hear God's voice. You see, we read the word of God to connect with the God of the word. God is not gonna force you to pray when you're struggling, but when you do, you will experience God strengthening you. God is not gonna force you to Sabbath or practice solitude or financially give or fast or serve, but when you do, God will meet you and mold you. Friends, you are blessed when you choose to be close to Christ, planted in him in every season. You know, if you or I were to go out by ourselves into a large desert without any reference point, and somebody were to tell you or I, okay, you need to walk in a straight line, what would actually happen is over time, you would walk in circles. That even though you were trying to walk in a straight line without a point of reference, you would walk in circles. The reason you would walk in circles is because you didn't have that point of reference, and one of your legs is a little bit shorter than the other. And so without even meaning to, you would just walk in circles. You see, this is the human condition apart from God. We interpret blessings as everything's going right in my life, curses as everything's going wrong in my life, and yet there are people in your life right now who have it all together from a worldly perspective but are cursed, and there are people in our lives who the world would look at and say, that person's cursed, but they are blessed and fully alive. The difference is the reference point. The difference is fixing our eyes on Jesus. The difference is continuing in his ways. You see, the difference between the blessed and the cursed person comes down to proximity to the provider. You're blessed when you're close to Christ, and you're cursed when you're far from the Father. Now, the first century church, they struggled like the people in Judah struggled when God first spoke these words in Jeremiah 17 to them. And we see it in 2 John in the New Testament. The Apostle John, he writes in chapter 1, verse 9, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And this really isn't a sermon about whether someone can lose their salvation or not, but I was in a great conversation with our executive ministry assistant, Haley, and she was saying, you know, that idea of losing can seem so passive and fearful, like, oh man, I'm gonna lose my salvation. And she was saying something that was so profound to me. She said, I don't think of it as like losing your salvation, but leaving, an active choice, a walking away. I mean, this is why all over the place in Scripture, we are reminded to continue in the teaching of Christ. Continue to walk faithfully with God. Continue to root your trust and your confidence in Him alone. And so I want to ask you the question that we began with. Which is true about you? In God I trust, or in self I trust? Because God's perfect word, the Bible, warns you and I that if your life is about in self I trust, you are cursed. But thanks be to God that He wasn't okay with any of us ending our stories there. And so Jesus came. Jesus showed up on the scene 2,000 years ago. Jesus, being fully God and fully human, lived the blessed life, fully trusting in His Father's plan. It resulted in Him dying a painful death on the cross, rising from the dead, offering salvation to everyone who would receive Him. See, the cursed person is the one who turns their back on God and says, I don't need Jesus. And they only trust themselves. The blessed person is the one who says, I need Jesus. I need Him real bad. I want to invite everyone to close their eyes right now. And with your eyes closed right now, I want to ask you that question. Is your life about you trusting in yourself, or you trusting in God? And if you've never made that decision to put your faith in God, to trust that Jesus Christ did die on the cross for your sins, that He did rise from the dead, proving that He has power over life and death, today is the moment to stop living the cursed life. In fact, Jesus died for you. He sacrificed for you. He gave up everything so that you wouldn't have to live the cursed life. But He's not going to force you. But He is inviting you right now. And so with every eye closed, this is your moment. This is your opportunity to say, Jesus, I've trusted in myself for far too long. I am choosing to trust in You. And right now, if you want to, for the very first time, begin a relationship with Jesus. Say, Jesus, I am going to choose to trust You right now. I want to invite you, with every eye closed between you and God, to raise your hand in the air right now. To raise your hand in the air is a way of declaring that you are putting your faith and your trust in Jesus for the first time. And for those of you that have your hands up right now, I want to invite you to pray this prayer after me. Jesus, I confess that my sin is a problem I can't fix. I believe that You died on the cross to forgive me. I trust that You rose from the dead, proving You are God. I receive You as my Lord and Savior. Today and every day, I choose to follow You. Now you can put your hands down and keep your eyes closed. I think there may be many of us here today who at one point we had put our faith and our trust in Jesus, but we have started to, as Jeremiah 17 says, turn away from the Lord. We've started to fall back into the cursed life because of the challenges and difficulties, the pain that we're experiencing. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to redeclare again with your life that, Jesus, I am putting my trust and my confidence in You. He knows exactly what you're facing, exactly what you're going through. And this is the moment to say, I want to be blessed, which means I'm close to Christ, which means I am choosing to put my faith and my confidence and my trust in you, Jesus, right now, again. And if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity right now to raise your hands as a way of saying, Jesus, I am coming home. I'm returning to him. So you can go ahead and raise your hands if you're at a place of going, Jesus, I am choosing to recommit my life to you. I am choosing to put my trust back in you again. God, I thank you so much for these hands. Thank you for the decisions that are being made, the first time decisions, and the people who right now are saying, I've been turning away from the Lord and I am turning back to you, God. Lord, would they know deep in their bones and in their soul that they are blessed because they are close to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, if you made that decision to follow Christ for the first time, in fact, can we praise God for the decisions that were made and what he did? If you made that decision, then your next step is to get baptized. Or maybe you've never been baptized before. Beginning in August, we're gonna start doing baptisms, hopefully every single month. And so I wanna encourage you, our next baptism is on August 9th, and then we have another one on September 13th. You can sign up to get baptized in the Connect Center. You can go online. And maybe you're wondering what baptism is. Let's watch this together.
Baptism is an outward expression of your inward trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. If you've made the decision to follow Jesus, then your next step is to get baptized and declare your faith to the world. If you want to get baptized or have questions about your faith journey, go to purposechurch.com/nextsteps or visit the Connect Center in the lobby. Everyone has a next step to take, and we are excited to help you discover yours.